to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Our guest is our frequent guest host of this program, Jim Hansen, Executive Vice President of the Center for Security Policy, former Green Beret in the United States Army, a leader of what we think of as our special forces in the war of ideas these days. Jim Hansen, welcome back. It's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on, Frank.
Let me ask you about the chemical weapons attack. It appears that it was sarin nerve gas, and that would evidently be something out of the stocks of the Assad arsenal that were supposed to have been eliminated. What's going on, Jim, and what do you make of the UN's protesting of all of this?
Well, I think it's right to protest it. I think anyone who believes that Assad got rid of his chemicals is stunningly naive. I think he's been using them. You know, there have been a number of instances where he's used them. And frankly, I'm kind of baffled. You know, if the one thing he's kind of gotten away with staying. Russia pushed it. You know, Obama caved to it. The world community refused to get up in arms. We had the previous chemical incident, where, you know, President Obama's vaunted red line turned out to be pretty ephemeral. And so, you know, Assad felt, I guess, comfortable using chemical weapons. But now that he was solidified, I just don't understand why you would take the risk of actually rousing the international community and doing it. And in this case, we've got kind of a collision course between Trump and Putin. Putin saying it wasn't Assad. He's saying that they didn't do it. And, you know, I don't think there's any question they did. So Trump's going to have to decide whether Putin gets to make that big lie, get away with it, and we decide that, you know, apparently chemical weapons are okay if you're the friend of a big dictator. It's a scary situation.
He has indicated, Donald Trump, that this is really the fault of his predecessor for having drawn a red line and then not stuck to it, as you say. What do you think of the Trump policy of the moment actually is, and what should it?
I haven't heard one articulated. I think it's fair to go ahead and say that Obama set the stage for this. In so many ways, his weakness has emboldened bad guys all around the world. So, you know, the bad actors are in power. They are acting bad. And now we need to decide just exactly how forceful our response is going to be. Putin does not want Assad to go. But what is the proper punishment there? If you're going to be conducting chemical attacks, which is one of the more heinous things anyone can do. So I think Trump needs to make a fairly forceful statement, and it almost certainly has to be some form of violence against Assad's assets. Now, that's going to cause a big problem.
It would almost certainly cause a significant problem. I just have to say, as a longtime critic of the Chemical Weapons Convention, which was supposed to have rid the world of all of these things, as well as the John Kerry's negotiated deal with the Assad government and the Russians and so on, with respect specifically to Assad's arsenal, I've never believed for a moment that you're going to rid the world of these terrible weapons, and I think we've been foolish in believing otherwise. Let me ask you about Susan Rice, Jim. I talked earlier in the program with Congressman Stewart and Diana West about it, but I'd like to get your take on what have we learned so far, and where do you think this is likely to go?
I think what we've learned is that while in power, the Obama administration considered all of the tools of the state to be at their disposal for use against their political opponents and enemies. And I mean, they used the IRS, they used, you know, every piece of the organs of power to go ahead and collect information about their opponents and then to punish their opponents. So I don't think it should surprise anyone. I think the breadth of it in this case is really going to be stunning when this all plays out. You know, if you've got Susan Rice, who is one degree of separation from the president, requesting information on political opponents. And then she made the moronic statement yesterday, "I didn't leak nothing to nobody." Well, Susan, okay, but odds are you dropped those names on Ben Rhodes' desk, and then that little weasel started giving them to everybody in the world.
Ben Rhodes being her deputy at the time, who was a known and self-described prevaricator and political warfare operative. Yeah, fabulous, right?
Yeah, and he was, you know, responsible for doing that. But they also, once they unmasked those things, Obama had made it possible in his waning days to spread information like that much farther. So they had a way to get it to all the intelligence agencies, which leak like sieves, and to the media. And I think in this case, they did that to try and derail Donald Trump during the campaign, during the transition, and during the beginning of his administration through now. So it's one of those things that their records exist. Now, how much we can find out, it couldn't go a whole lot farther up the food chain, starting at Susan Rice. So we'll see how wide it spreads. And I have a feeling it's going to be pretty wide.
Yeah. Do you just, you know, speculating at this point, obviously, but do you have any view on whether the president himself was privy to this kind of operation, if not directing it?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. You know, Barack Obama was a notorious detail and refusal to push decision making down. You know, he waited on the bin Laden raid for months and months and refused to allow that to happen until he'd actually conducted opinion polling on what would happen if it went wrong. So I don't think there's any way Susan Rice just up and decided, you know what, it'd be interesting. Why don't I see what the Trumps are up to during the campaign? You know, no way, but I doubt they catch him.
Let me ask you, Jim Henson, about the summit that the president had earlier this week with President el-Sisi of Egypt. I know that you, like the rest of us at the Center for Security Policy, are very sympathetic to the efforts that the Egyptian government under el-Sisi has been making to try to contend with this group that started out in Egypt, but is now worldwide, including in our own country, namely the Muslim Brotherhood. What do we know about the effort to designate the Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, something el-Sisi has done and I think has been hoping the Trump administration would do here as well?
I know he's advocating for it. You know, the Egyptian government believes that will help them contain them at home. You know, they're a huge problem for them there. And the claim is always by the people who think this is a bad idea that they're no longer a terrorist organization. They renounced violence in the 70s. Well, the Egyptian government will tell you otherwise and tell you that right up to the present day, they are killing people in Egypt and with no compunction about it. They are a terrorist operation. The Egyptians have no uncertain terms about it. And they believe that if we designate them as a foreign terrorist organization, it'll help in their ability to stop fundraising, to stop money moving around, and to put, you know, better investigative powers and other ways to deal with them in from the U.S. and from others who will follow our lead. So I think it's definitely a step we need to take. Hopefully the Trump administration's gotten maybe a little gun shy after the issues with the travel ban. But I think that's going to, you know, survive at the Supreme Court level. And hopefully that'll give them a little bit more, I guess, backbone for what's going to be a tough fight to get the designation through, but a necessary one.
Hey, Jim, before we let you go, very quickly, I know back in the Army, you used to worry about North Korea and what kinds of dangers it posed to our allies, to our interests out in that part of the world, and of course to us increasingly here at home. This is likely to feature prominently on the summit with Xi Jinping of China that President Trump is going to have later this week. What are your expectations out of that meeting?
I think at this point, China might even be a little worried about this particular Kim. You know, they never started in that dynasty with all that solid a grasp on reality and control, and they've been going downhill since. So this guy is a bit crazier than even the last one. And the stuff he's done and the way they're heading, I think has the Chinese a little worried. Now, whether that can be, you know, we can capitalize on that to create the kind of pressure it's going to take to put them in a box, I don't know. You know, that's tough. Well, this is a big art of the deal challenge for Donald Trump.
We'll be watching it closely, as I know will you. Jim Henson, thank you so much for your work at the Center for Security Policy. Jim, come back to us soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Kafka. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.